Let me thank the Reverend Elliot for his words of welcome along and the invitation to come along this evening. He's right, I was here in Portadown as a student, and I remember preaching on student deputation. You were in the old building then, and I have been back in the new building since, a number of presbytery meetings, but this is the first time I've been here to preach since you have opened your new building. It is beautiful, and we trust the Lord will continue to bless you here in Portadown. I remember those student days well. I lived in the college for 2 years, and as part of living in the college, we always got a call every year, a couple of times every year, from Brother Mr. Smith to come along the Killigameen and take the meeting with the senior citizens there. And I don't know if any of them remember me. I maybe had a little more hair, maybe not too much more. Less in my chin and more in my head. But I remember going to Killigameen as a student, and with blessed times there, taking the meeting. And it is a privilege and joy to be back with you tonight here in Portadown. Now, we're going to read some verses from John chapter 6. John chapter 6. I have my Bible opened. And on one side is John 5 and the other side is John 6. So we're reading tonight from John 6. And I just want to read a short portion of Scripture. We're going to commence reading at verse 29. John chapter 6 and the verse 29. The Lord is really, debating with the Pharisees and the Jews. And the Lord Jesus speaking in verse 29, it says, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven, and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth in me shall never thirst. But I said unto you, that ye also have seen me, and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." Amen. We'll end our reading at verse 37. Could I ask you please to join with me in a moment's prayer? Ask the Lord now to speak to your heart. We're coming to the most important time in our service. We thank the Lord for praise. We thank the Lord for prayer. We're coming now to hear God's word and pray. The Holy Ghost will take the word of God and apply it to your heart. You might be in the meeting unsaved. We want you to come to know Christ. Maybe you are a Christian. Well, the Lord has a word for you too. Pray that ere we leave this meeting, that God will open the windows of heaven and that he pour his Spirit out upon our hearts, even at this time. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the harvest time. We thank thee for the gathering in of the crops from the fields, for the things that have been gathered into the barn and the storehouse. O Lord, we thank thee that even at the harvest time we're reminded of the gospel. Heavenly Father, as we seek to expound and apply the gospel of Jesus Christ tonight to souls, give us help, we ask of thee. Thou knowest, Lord, we could say who is sufficient for these things. We thank thee that God fills his servants with the Holy Spirit. We pray that the preaching of thy word tonight would not be in the enticing words of man's wisdom, but will be in the power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. May the Spirit convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come, Lord, should there be those gathered with us that know not Christ as Savior, may they realize that they're perishing, that Christ is the bread of life, that they must partake of Him by faith if they're ever to be saved and in heaven. We pray tonight some poor soul would take that step and receive Christ as He is freely offered in the gospel. Shut us in with Thyself. Defeat the devil. May the hush of heaven be upon this gathering. May we know what it is to be still in the presence of the Lord and know that Thou art God. May Christ be uplifted in our midst. May His name be glorified for Jesus' sake. Amen and amen. There are seven great I Am statements in the Gospel of John spoken by our Lord Jesus Christ. I could mention to you that statement, I am the door. I could mention that statement, I am the resurrection and the life. I could mention that great statement, I am the way, all made by Jesus Christ. And everyone was made to prove His deity and His office and work as the Messiah and the Savior of sinners. The first of those great I am statements is in verse 35. And it ties in with the harvest thing. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth in me shall never thirst. There is an undeniable connection with this statement and the historical account of God giving His people manna or bread from heaven in the wilderness, in the book of Exodus. An undeniable connection. You will see that from verse 31. If you just look at verse 31 for a moment. The Pharisees and the Jews are speaking to the Lord. And they put to Him, our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. At this point, the Pharisees and the Jews were asking the Lord Jesus for a sign. They were asking for a sign that He would prove that He was the Messiah, the Son of God, the Anointed One who had come into the world to save sinners. And they argue with the Lord and they reason like this. When our fathers traveled through the wilderness for 40 years in the book of Exodus, when Moses led them through the wilderness, a sign was given unto them to prove that Moses was the prophet and to prove that he was leading them in accordance to the will of God. And that sign was that bread, manna, was sent down from heaven every day. And now they're asking, what sign do you give us? Give us a sign like God gave to Moses and the children of Israel in the wilderness as He gave them bread from heaven. If they had have considered what already had taken place in this chapter, they had a similar sign from the Lord. Because the chapter commences with the Lord feeding the 5,000. What did He do? He multiplied bread. And He fed the multitude. And it was a similar miracle to what the Lord had performed in the wilderness all those years ago. And so when the Jews come and they ask the Lord for another sign, as God gave a sign in the wilderness with bread from heaven, they're asking Him, what sign do you give us? And it was then that Jesus, in response to that statement, He simply declared, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. This statement is a metaphor. It likens Christ to the bread sent down from God to satisfy His people. Manna is the type. Christ is the fulfillment of that type. I am the bread of life. And as we liken Christ to the manna that was sent down from God in the wilderness all those years ago, there are a number of things I want to leave with you in this gospel meeting tonight. I want you to firstly consider the provision of this bread. Look again at verse 31 and you will see that the Jews acknowledge that the manna, Christ is likened unto the manna, the bread. And the Jews are acknowledging that it was a miracle because this bread was sent down from heaven. Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Now note that little statement. God the Father gave the Jews bread and he sent it down from heaven for them to eat. They are acknowledging that the manna in the wilderness was sent down from heaven by God himself. We read in Exodus 16 in the verse 4 where God himself said at this time, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you." And the point I am stressing is this. The Old Testament manna was sent from heaven. And can we just ask ourselves for a moment why it was sent? If you read the account in Exodus, I encourage you to do so. You will discover that Israel had been led by Moses into the wilderness. They were traveling through that wilderness. They were journeying to the promised land. But in that wilderness, they found themselves in a state where they were perishing. They were starving. They were going to die without any food in the wilderness. And so they came to Moses and they cried unto Moses and Moses cried unto and God provided for their bodily and their physical needs by miraculously sending the manna 6 days of the week for 40 years as they traveled through the wilderness to Canaan. And if you read this portion of John chapter 6, you will discover that it is emphasized by the Lord that just as the manna was sent as God's gracious gift to a starving and a perishing people to sustain them and strengthen them in the wilderness, so Christ was sent down by the Father from heaven to a perishing people to save their souls. If you look at verse 33 of John chapter 6, you will see this is emphasized. For the bread of God is he. The manna was only a type. The true bread of God is the person. And it's the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 33, for the bread of God is he, which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Look at verse 38. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And the Lord is emphasizing here that he was sent by his Father, not to do his own will, but the will of his Father. And men and women, just as the Israelites were perishing in the wilderness for hunger, and just as God sent down a provision of bread to sustain them, I want you to know tonight, I want you to understand tonight, that in this world you are perishing in your state of sin. The Bible tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. David could say, I was born in sin and shapen in iniquity. And in your sinful condition and in your sinful state before God, you are perishing. And if your sin is not dealt with, if your sin is not pardoned, if it is not forgiven, you will perish in a lost sinner's hell. But men and women, the message of the gospel is this. That God the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And he sent him down into this world to suffer and to die on the cross. That he might provide a way that you might have eternal life. We're likening the manna then to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're saying he is the fulfillment of the type of the manna. It's interesting to note some things about the manna and how they remind us of the Lord Jesus Christ and his saving work. If you turn back to Exodus chapter 16, you will see that we are told in this chapter that the manna was white. its coloring was white. Look at Exodus 16 and verse 31. And the house of Israel called the name thereof manna. That's the bread of heaven sent down by God to the children of Israel as they wandered in the wilderness. And they called it manna. And it was like coriander seed, white. The color of it was white. That reminds me of the purity or the sinlessness of Jesus Christ. The one that God sent down into this world was one who was sinless. And that means he was able to make a sacrifice of his life and his soul for our sins. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 5 and 21, he who knew no sin was made sin, because Jesus Christ was the sinless one. He could take our sins in his own body to the tree and bear the penalty and the punishment for them. And white, my friends, is the color of purity. And the manna in its very coloring reminds us of the purity and the sinlessness of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came down as the sinless one. And because he was sinless, he could bear away the sins of his people. If you turn over to Numbers chapter 11 and the verse 8, you'll see that the manna had to be crushed for the people to make bread from it. Numbers chapter 11 and the verse 8. We're just likening the manna now to the Lord Jesus Christ. And there in Numbers 11, we're told in verse 8, the people went about and gathered it, that's the manna, and ground it in mills, or beat it in mortar, and baked it in pans. Before the manna could be baked, it had to be crushed in the mill. Now if the colouring of the manna reminds us of the sinlessness of Christ, then the grinding or the crushing of the manna reminds us of the sufferings of Christ. For before the people could partake of the benefits of the manna, it had to be crushed. And before men and women could be saved, Christ had to suffer. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. My friend, would you look to Calvary tonight? Before we leave this meeting, would you get a glimpse in your mind? Would you picture afresh the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ? For before men and women could experience and know his salvation practically, the Lamb of God had to be crucified and wounded, bruised at Calvary. And there on the cross, those wicked men, they did their worst. The Romans scourged him with their whip. They placed a crown of thorns upon his brow, and then they beat it into his brow until it was embedded in his forehead. They took him to Calvary and they nailed his hands and his feet to that cross. They plunged a spear into his side and pierced his heart. Men and women, he suffered to provide eternal life for the sinful sons and daughters of Adam's race. The manna was white. It reminds us of the sinlessness of Christ. The manna was crushed. It reminds us of the sufferings of Christ. The manna, it was sweet to taste. It reminds us of the sweetness or the satisfaction of Christ. Just turn back to Exodus chapter 16 and the verse 31 again. I didn't read the end of the verse, but it's described as being like coriander seed and white. And the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. Oh, when the Lord makes provision, he gives sweet provision. And I'm reminded that Christ satisfies the soul. You tasted of the Lord. You experienced his salvation. Christ came down from heaven just as the bread was sent down in the wilderness. And he was sent down as the sinless one to suffer at the cross to provide salvation. That's the provision of the bread. But I want to move on tonight, and I want you to notice secondly, not only the provision of this bread, but the partaking of this bread. We're back in John chapter 6 now, and I want you to look again at verse 31. Because you'll notice that the Jews are making this confession. It says, our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And the Jews themselves are confessing that not only was the bread provided to sustain them and strengthen them as they traveled through the wilderness, but to gain the benefits of that bread, they had to partake of it. They had to eat of it. Listen to me now. The Jews or the children of Israel in the wilderness, they could have known in their hearts and in their minds. Every morning we rise, 6 days a week, and can I say, and I don't want to get off on a tangent tonight, but there's a lesson about the Sabbath in the manna and the bread. Because God only provided the manna 6 days of the week. And on the sixth day, he provided a double portion. The children of Israel, there was no manna provided on the seventh day because they were to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And we are to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. But as that manna was given, the Jews in the wilderness, or the children of Israel, I should say, in the wilderness, they could have known that when they rose from their beds every morning, there would be provision out there and provision for them. And yet had they not taken that extra step and gone out and gathered that manna and then crushed it and baked it and actually eaten of it, they would have had no benefit from it. I put it to you, the same is true with the bread of life. So it is with the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 35. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And do you see what the Lord is saying? I am the bread of life. I have come to make provision for the sins of men and women, and I will make it at the cross. But to receive the benefits of that provision, you must come to me. You must partake of me. You must eat of me, as it were. It is not enough, my friend. And listen, in this gospel meeting tonight, you can know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You can believe there's a God in heaven in your mind. You can know in your mind that Jesus is His Son, that He died on the cross to save sinners. You can know it all in your mind. And if you never partake of Him, you'll still be lost. You'll still perish in hell. That leads me to ask a question. A very logical question. If Christ has made provision for the salvation of men and women, and if I must partake of that provision to be saved, to be in heaven, how can I, a sinner, partake of Jesus Christ, the bread of life? I think the answer is in the passage. I want to highlight a number of verses. Look at verse 35. I am the bread of life. He that, in fact, let me highlight some words. In Antrim, over the past number of weeks, I've been highlighting some of the little words in our messages and in the scripture. And we shouldn't miss a single word in the Bible. They're all important. But let me just emphasize a number of words in these verses. Verse 35, he that cometh. Note that word, cometh. Look at verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh, there it is again. Note the word, cometh. And then in verse 40, It says, "And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth," note the word believeth in him may have everlasting life. Look at verse 47. We didn't read this verse, but look at it. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth," there's that word again. So there are two words and they're mentioned at least twice. The word "cometh" and the word "believeth." And I want you to grasp those words and understand them. If you're not a Christian, how can you become a Christian? If you're not saved, how can you be saved? How can you receive the benefits of the one who is the bread of life and has come down from heaven to provide salvation for you? These words are terms, my friends, that denote faith. You will never partake of the benefits of God's salvation in Christ by taking the bread at the communion table. That, my friend, will never save, and it was never intended to save. You will be saved from your sin. You partake of the bread of the light of life when you place your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has accomplished at Calvary to take away your sin. It was the Apostle Paul who said in Romans 5:1, "Wherefore, being justified by faith," justification is an act of God's free grace, wherein he pardoneth all our sins. All our sin is pardoned. We're justified by faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ. And we have peace with God through faith in Christ. It was Paul who could say and who could preach to the Philippian jailer, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." Oh, isn't saving faith depending upon the Lord? "My hope is built on nothing less," the hymn writer said, "than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest stream, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. His blood was shed as a provision to take away the sins of men and women." And the question is your hope for eternity in the blood of Christ? Are you depending in the blood? Are you trusting in the blood? The work that Jesus did on the cross, that's the question. I have to ask you tonight, have you partaken of the bread of life? I'm not asking you, are you a church member? I'm not asking you, have you come to the Lord's table? I'm not asking you, have you gone through the waters of baptism? For none of those things can wash away your sin. The bread of heaven is he who came down to suffer at the cross to provide eternal life for who? For all that will come and believe. And that's the question. Have you truly, genuinely believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, taking away of your sin? Turn back to John chapter 6 and the verse 35. I want you to notice in the third place tonight, not only that this bread was provided, this bread had to be partaken of, but you will notice the pleasure that was experienced from this bread. Verse 35, Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger." Now the Lord points something out to the Jews, and they're questioning him, and they're criticizing him, and they're seeking to find fault in him. And they're saying that God gave a sign through Moses in the wilderness, and our fathers had manna for 40 years. And the Lord points something out to them. He says, "Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and they died." The manna was only the type. The manna in the wilderness satisfied the physical man and sustained the physical man. But the man or woman who experiences salvation through faith in the bread of life, the Lord Jesus Christ, shall be truly satisfied. They shall never hunger. They shall never die the eternal death. They shall never perish in hell. And this idea and this thing that God's salvation in Christ, when you partake of it by faith, it satisfies. And Christ is the bread of life. He does something for His people that the type there in the wilderness could not do. He satisfies the soul. Didn't He explain that to the woman at the well in John chapter 4? She was a very sinful woman. She was an immoral woman. And He explained to her in John 4 and 14. One that would come to Christ and receive the water of life. It's a different metaphor, but He said they would never thirst again. There's a satisfaction. And the one that comes to Christ, the bread of life, shall never hunger again. There's a satisfaction. There's a joy. There is pleasure. There is happiness. There is contentment for the soul that is resting in Christ for eternity. The psalmist said, "O taste and see, the Lord is good." And I put it to you tonight, if you come to Christ and you believe in Christ and you are saved by Christ, you'll never hunger for the things of the world again. You'll not hunger after the things of sin again. I can testify to that myself. For I remember as a teenager, my thoughts, my mind was given to everything and anything, only the gospel. And in my heart, though I was always sent to church, I was taught the gospel in church and in the home. In my heart, I had really no desire for the gospel. And yet as a young man of 17 years of age, God took a dealing with me. And that night, and I'm going to give away my age here, and you'll say he's younger than he looks, but at 17 years of age in 1993, as I knelt at my bedside and I called on God to save me, I want to tell you, the old things passed away. And all things became new. And the things that I once loved and I once longed for, now I really didn't have the same interest in. The thing, the gospel that I once really didn't have any time or thought of, now I couldn't get enough of it. The gospel satisfies. And I challenge you, if you have never come to Christ and you have never believed in the one who is the bread of life, you come to Him, you believe in Him, you trust in Him, and He will give you that satisfaction, He will give you that joy, He will give you that happiness in Christ. And He'll make all things new, and you'll never thirst, you'll never hunger again. None but Christ can satisfy. None other. Name for me, there's love, there's life, there's lasting joy. Lord Jesus, find in Thee. Have you experienced that satisfaction in Christ? I trust you have. And if not, why not come to Him tonight? He was sent by God the Father all those years ago to provide a way of salvation. Listen, it's not enough to know it in your mind. You must believe it in your heart. If you come to Christ, I trust you will. And if not, come tonight. Speak to the Reverend Elliot. Speak to myself. We'll be glad to point you to the Saviour and give you that assurance of how you can know your sins are forgiven. The Reverend Elliot's going to come and close the meeting.